Hey guys, it's Nick from Game Time. Thanks for listening to our podcast and stream online and on the app. Just remember, it's still radio, 1620 The Zone AM radio. So please remember, all the time you spend listening to 1620 The Zone AM radio, remember, 1620 The Zone AM radio.
That was funny. Am I on? Was that funny or what? Or am I just like have a Friday brain right now? That was pretty funny.
Good. I apologize.
No, it was Montana, not Wyoming. I apologize. How about a score update from TD Ameritrade? 5-1 Nebraska over Iowa. I had an idea earlier, a way they can make this game better if they played basketball instead of baseball. That would make this whole thing
set up hoops.
Set up hoops, play basketball. That would be my idea. All right, Shiki. I'm sure at some point over the course of in between like nonsense that we did during the Shiki Nick show that we got into like alcohol at Memorial Stadium. Mm-hmm. What, I mean, Moose has said he's at least open to it. Does it feel like an inevitability? Where do you come out on it? Like, what do you think?
Yeah, I think it is. I think it's coming. I think whether you like it or not, I mean, we're getting to the point where things that used to be taboo or, oh my goodness, we shouldn't do that are now doing it. I think the one thing you just have to remember is just because you approve this doesn't mean that you approve underage drinking.
Sure.
All those types of things. I think those are the mixed messages that people feel are there. But, you know, it's whether you serve alcohol at a sporting event or not is not going to encourage or dissuade student athletes from doing it or younger people from doing it. They're going to do it and get that message from home or anywhere else. So yep. I don't really have an issue with that. When it comes to behavior, fans, and all those types of things, I'm fine with serving alcohol. Obviously, cutting it off at a certain time of the game or like they do in baseball in the seventh inning, all those types of things are something you'll learn with. I just don't, you know, people walk in. It's all dependent not on – not on if you serve alcohol at the game. It's all dependent on what time the game is. You know, if the game's at 7, it doesn't matter whether you sell alcohol or not. They're going to walk in fairly sloshed if they want to drink.
Yes.
That's just the way it's going to be. If you want to curtail drinking in the stadium, get 11 a.m. kickoffs. That's what, you know, that should, in theory, help the normal ones.
Could I argue, and I know this sounds stupid on the surface, but like, I've always kind of felt like legalizing sports gambling will kind of could potentially clean up some of maybe the shadiness that may or may not happen with sports gambling. Could I argue that, like, allowing alcohol sales at Memorial Stadium would actually maybe deter some binge drinking so people
could I argue
you got to spend $10 for a Coors Light. How many people are going to go in there and drop, you know, $80 on 8 Coors Lights? I mean, probably not a lot, you know.
Or the oh my goodness, I got to get my drinks in before I go in because they don't sell it in there.
Right, okay, they
do. And here's the benefit of it too is you might get a little more leg room because those dumb alcoholics are up there getting their drinks.
You know, I hadn't thought about that. Because is there a better feeling than when the person next to you, like, leaves and you're
oh,
mama can spread the legs and feel good right now.
Yeah, because there's never a good time to leave. Like, if you leave at halftime, you're going in a crowd to get your alcohol, your beer. If you're in the middle of the game, you're going to miss action. So it's pick your poison. But
I think, by and large,
the ones that will be rewarded are those who don't drink. So let's go.
You know what? You just – now, I wasn't sure if I was going to vote yes. You just made me vote yes. That's what I want. I want the opportunity to have more leg room at different times.
Exercise your right to vote.
That's what I want. Golly, a bunch of different stuff to get to with you. How about this? It's list season, so I came out with my – here are my top 5 storylines for 2019 college football and my top 5 coaches to watch. You want me to throw them at you and you can react?
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
I'm ready for your list.
Number one.
Basketball?
Number one. Can a 2-3 zone really? No. Jim Harbaugh in Michigan, like it's time to punch through. No Urban Meyer, no excuse. It's time, right?
I believe we will be saying that if not now, when? Can't we win? We're at Michigan.
We're at Michigan. Why can't we win? Why, Willie?
I talked to Wyatt and Willie about why Michigan can't win and when that is going to be.
That's what's going to happen.
So here. The question is, what's wrong? Sorry, that was terrible.
I love it.
I had a bad accent there. So I do believe this is the I think this is the year for Michigan. Now, what does that look like? I don't know. I thought they should have beaten Notre Dame. I am still the guy who watches the Notre Dame game at the beginning of the year. Last year, I was on the sidelines. I go, you know what? They could have won that game. They just made mistakes. It was week one. And right. Then I watched the Ohio State game, and I'm like, you know, it was only a 5-point game at the half. I'm still apologizing
I know.
For Michigan.
What, because you're, I was you're with me.
I was riding the train on them last year. So
yeah.
But I do believe that the most important hire in the Big Ten this past season was Josh Gattis, the OC of Michigan, outside uh-huh. of Ryan Day and all that stuff. Gattis is going to be a new look offense. And so the stuff here, the bill of goods, is it a bill of goods or is it accurate that you're being what you're being sold here
right.
in spring ball with Michigan? I'm buying, but I'm with you. I think that's a big storyline this year.
Okay, number two, Jalen Hurts to Oklahoma. I mean, can Lincoln Riley, make it three straight transfer quarterbacks that are potential Heisman? We have two that are Heisman Trophy winners. Like, I think Hurts at Oklahoma is really interesting.
It's very interesting. I think the law of averages is likely going to kick in here eventually.
You'd right? hope like so. You'd think so.
One of these guys has got to flame out. Yeah, I mean, you open with Houston. I think they got UCLA. Their conference schedule is what it is. I think they got a chance to, you know, lose a game and make the playoff like they always will as long as Riley's there, as long as they got a competent quarterback. I'm fascinated just to see a guy go in there, win over the locker room like it appears like he has, and finally have the team be his team.
Right.
And, you know, he might not have the talent set of a Kyler Murray or a Baker Mayfield, but he's got the leadership, and he's a vocal guy, and I think he'll command a lot of respect. And I'm looking forward to it. I think that's a great top five story. Yeah.
Okay, the third one I wrote down was, can anyone supplant Bama or Clemson? I mean, I had someone in the mailbag ask me, if you were given Bama and Clemson or the field, who would you take?
Yeah, I'd take Bama or Clemson.
Isn't that crazy?
I do believe there are only four or five teams that can win the national championship. I think Georgia's on the list. I don't know that Ohio State is on the list this year. I think Oklahoma's potentially on that list. But just, you know, some unknowns obviously there. So,
yep.
But I think if you gave me Georgia, Bama, and Clemson are the field, I would take that and I would
feel good.
A hefty sum.
Yeah.
A hefty sum on that.
I mean, think about it. So I saw a little nugget. Bama and Clemson have combined to win 11 of the past 12 college football playoff games.
That's really good.
I mean, that's ridiculous, isn't it? I mean, it's just, it's absurd.
You try to think about who the hope would be outside
right.
of those two. Like, who is it? It's probably not coming out of the Pac-12. If it's the Big Ten, it's either Michigan or Ohio State this year. And, you know, where else?
Yeah.
I don't, you know, there's a lot of teams in transition all over the place. Miami, I mean, there's just not a lot to pick from. LSU, you know. LSU always lets you down. I don't know.
Yeah. The fourth one was, we're kind of hitting on it, but can the Pac-12 or Big Ten snap their playoff drop? Going to happen this year or what?
If it happens, it could be with
Michigan?
Oregon.
In Michigan and Oregon?
Oregon.
Yeah. Oh, you think Oregon's got the best shot of any of them?
Out of the Pac-12, they
yeah.
do. Okay. Out of the Pac-12, they do. I think, you know, what Crystal Ball is doing out there is he's recruiting California really well. He got the number one player in the ESPN 300 out there. He's taking some of the push the envelope Alabama philosophy in recruiting since he used to be on Saban's staff. He's taking that out west. I'm a big buyer in Oregon. I'm just not sure that they've got it in the trenches yet. I mean, you look at the teams that make these playoffs.
I know, it's all right. I mean, they got the quarterback and the skill guys.
Look at Oklahoma, four of their five guys got drafted on
right.
the offensive line. I mean, you've got to own a trench
yep.
somewhere in order to make the playoff or at least win a game in the playoff.
The fifth storyline is, what happens with Clay Helton in USC? Like, you saw the quote from, I think, Brett McMurphy had with Reggie Bush and saying, like, yeah, if USC isn't winning, both me and Matt Leinart are going to be recruiting Urban Meyer to take over. Like, I think that is very interesting.
Yeah, if you gave me the over-under of 2 years, Urban Meyer coming back to coach, I would take the under
yep.
Because we've seen this before. And shockingly, the headaches are gone. I talked to Gene Smith about that on our Big Ten show on SiriusXM. The headaches are gone. I mean, he's feeling good.
Wow.
And so I think
amazing?
The further you are removed from the pain, the further you are removed from the memories of the pain.
And that's
so,
right.
You know, it's like, oh, yeah, I'll go run this marathon again. I can't remember the last time when I had my leg amputated. But if you look at USC's schedule, like where does it look like? What could they potentially do? I mean, Stanford, they always have trouble with Stanford. Utah will always give them trouble. They go to Washington and then Notre Dame. You know, and of course, they've got Oregon. I mean, I think the best case scenario is 9 wins.
Right.
That's the best case scenario. I just think, you know, with all the stuff going on and all the speculation and the hot seat, I think Lynn Swann might be on a hotter seat than Clay Helton. I don't know.
Yeah.
But there's just so much out there that if it became a middling type of season, then the calls for Urban Meyer would be very loud.
Yes. Well, this has kind of happened, but imagine of like before Riley's last year, Jason Peter and Grant Wistrom and Amon Green and Eric Crouch all said, you know, if this doesn't go well, we're all going to be recruiting Scott Frost to come here. And it's like, yeah, okay. Now, good luck with it. Good luck, Mike Riley.
That essentially happened mid-year.
It did. Jason Peter said, I'm not going to shave my beard until Scott Frost is the coach and all this stuff. It's like, all right, well, this is going good. This ought to go well for Mike Riley.
Yeah, we're
going to
turn this around. What are the chances if they win at Purdue at Riley's job?
It's ought to go really good. Okay, let me give you my top five coaches to watch. Number one, they're going to do anything, but I'm sorry. Les Miles at Kansas, like, sign me up. I mean, it's just so almost every single game he took the field as LSU's head coach, he had the more talented roster. Now, almost every game he takes the field at KU, he will have the lesser talented roster.
That's why he is just doing a social media blitz. It's like almost a startup company when they blitz you with promoted Twitters,
right.
Tweets, and all that stuff. Like, whoa, what is this company? I've never heard of this company. Oh, you bought a Super Bowl ad? Why? Why?
Why?
Well, because no one's heard of us, because we're rock bottom. Because it's not rock chalk, it's rock bottom. So we got to turn this thing around. He's doing it the smart way. But the question is, who's buying it, and how? It's such a challenge.
Oh,
that's why.
Man.
That's why Jeff Long comes out and says, "Hey, you know, can we bend the recruiting stuff and scholarship numbers so that teams like us can get back up to level par a little bit sooner and sign 35 players instead of 25?" I mean, there's a reason for that. The thing is a dumpster.
Totally.
So it's more of a.
You're watching it for the wrong reasons, probably.
Watching for the wrong reasons and seeing how he reacts to it. Watch his post-game, all those types of things. Yeah.
Okay, and then number two, I put Chip Kelly. Like, I just wonder, I mean, bad year, first year at UCLA. Okay, understandable, roster has to fit. We saw that firsthand with Frost to a certain extent. But you also, I wonder, has the novelty of, like, his unique style, like, worn off now that, because, I mean, he was kind of in the same class as Saban for a little bit in terms of, like, dominance. Maybe didn't have the championships, but in terms of regular season success, he was right there. Like, I'm interested to see what happens with Chip Kelly in year two.
Yeah, and he, you know, what did he have at Oregon? He had something different, right? Whether it was the uniforms or the tempo and the offensive scheme, all of that stuff, it was just different. Now everyone's doing that. And so now what do you do? What can you do to stand out? And do you have the cachet? His approach in recruiting is very interesting in that he's taking kind of a slow turn at this. I mean, his commitment list for the 2019, I think he had one high school player in the top 300, and it was just a top 15 offensive tackle. And then when you look at the class of 2020, it's just he's got three commits right now for the class of 2020. He's going very slowly with this.
Right.
He's not offering early, and you just wonder, that's not how the game is played right now.
Right.
It might be the right way to play it, but let me just say this. It will be very interesting to see if it works, because if it works, he will be a genius. If it doesn't, it will flame out very
totally
quickly.
Number three, I put Tom Herman. Doesn't it kind of feel like they're hitting the checkpoints to pop? You know what I mean? Like, improved year one, went 10-4 last year, beat Georgia in a bowl game, did beat Oklahoma in the regular season. You know, you would kind of think, okay, they might be ready to pop.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, you know, it's like we always talk about bowl games, right? Like, you can read whatever you want to a bowl game. Oh, you beat Georgia. Well, I don't care if Georgia didn't care. Look, Texas is back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is great. Here's the beauty of Texas and their schedule. The beauty of it is that have you seen their schedule, by the way?
No, let me pull it up.
Okay. Why don't you give a look at September 7th and just see what we're looking at here. because the beauty of Texas's schedule is they will either be back or they will, or the air will be out of the balloon so quickly that their margin of error will be slim. You'll be like, you know what? We're not anywhere near a NFL type of team in the trenches like LSU.
LSU, September 7th. I like it. And then I put Ryan Day. Don't you think? I mean, I put Ryan Day at four. Like, I mean, you're filling in for the legend. You're at Ohio State. It's one thing to be the interim coach. Another thing, it's one thing if I watch your kids for a weekend. It's another thing if I'm your kids' parents. You know, like, it's a totally different deal. I think that's an interesting storyline.
When Urban Meyer stepped in, he had Braxton Miller, and they went undefeated.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And they didn't get to play in the playoff or in the national championship in the playoff. Oh, I can't remember if there was a playoff back then. But they weren't able to play in it. Why? Because they were having sanctions. They weren't eligible. So now you got Ryan Day stepping in. It's a little different beast in that this is Fields' essentially first year, but the dynamic between Day and Justin Fields is going to be incredible to watch. Because Fields has all the tools, he'll probably use his legs a little bit more early on, especially if he's doubting himself a little bit. I'm more curious to see about Fields than I am how Day handles it, but in terms of your coaches to watch, Day is certainly there. I love Day's temperament. I love everything he brings. He's got, as you said, we've talked about this on your show. He's got a high red blood cell count in his face, which makes me look like I'm looking at myself when I was 12. So there's a lot to like about him. I think it's a good new vibe there at Ohio State. I like the philosophies he's bringing. But Justin Fields is going to be, look, between he and Martinez, you might have two of the most promising young quarterbacks in the country, in the conference.
And then I know this feels, you know, homerific, but like I put Frost in there. A lot of people, I mean, we know what he did year two at Central Florida. I don't think people are expecting that, but they're kind of the trendy pick to win the West right now. It's interesting.
Well, remember when he was hired, and it was the summer of last year when he said, people better get us now.
Right.
And so there wasn't anything he did to say, hey, just give us time. It was more like, you better get us now because we're going to be really good.
Yep.
And it's coming. And, you know, he didn't do himself any favors with going undefeated in year two at UCF.
Yeah.
So that raises the bar a little bit. But, yeah, year two with him, it's always coach and quarterback, right? Coach and quarterback. How does that dynamic work? How does that improvement come? We've seen him do incredible stuff with Mariota. We saw him do it with Mackenzie Milton. What's he going to do here? And I think that's where that draw comes from.
Matt Schick, ESPN. How about that hard hitting? I mean, just look at it. See, you're just bouncing stuff off you, and you're just giving great insight. This is great, man. Yeah. That's great, man.
Didn't even get to Moose. That's fine.
Yeah. That's fine. Did we?
Get to Moose next week.
Yeah, we got next. We got all the time in the world, my friend, all right?
Nebraska 7-1. I mean, what more do you want?
Sheesh. Like,
this game is motored along. We're at the bottom of the fifth.
3 hours later, we're halfway home, baby. Halfway home. Hey, Schicky, have yourself a great Memorial Day weekend, and you know, go celebrate with Porter. He with his cap and gown. All right, it's great stuff.
He hasn't taken it off since.
I love it. Thank you, Schicky.
All right, buddy. We'll see you.
Bye. All right, good stuff with Schicky. Yeah, 7-1, bottom of the fifth. Nebraska's got it rolling, man. Got it rolling. All right, more game time around the corner.